How did this YouTuber go from being one of the top MLB The Show creators to now creating the most viral MLB clips online? His name is Preston Miklich, but you probably know him as Fuzzy from YouTube. In this episode, we talked to him about creating some of his early videos and how he's building his media business today. And I challenged him to see who create the best all-time MLB The Show team. Can't wait for you to see this episode of The Brawlettes.
Guys, before we jump into today's episode, I got to tell you about our new sponsor. It is Stinger Sports. Guys, I got to tell you what I love about these guys. So first, I met Brandon, the founder of Stinger, through a mutual friend. We had him on the podcast, one of my favorite episodes. Make sure that you go and check it out. But we've developed not only a bit of a friendship, but now a partnership where we want to introduce everyone on the world to Stinger Sports because they make incredible athletic gear at an affordable price. And this is what I really love, because if you're a parent, you know how expensive gear is getting, how expensive uniforms are getting. And these guys make affordable stuff that is pro level quality. Right now, Colt is using one of their gloves. I mean, this thing is sick. Look how customized that is. And he's using this in 13U baseball right now, which is amazing. And then we also brought them on as a uniform sponsor. Look at these custom Stinger Sports Brolet jerseys. How cool are these? And the best thing, they're not just for baseball. So baseball, soccer, volleyball, whatever that you need, they can equip you. But on the baseball side specifically, what I love is they will equip you with fully customizable jerseys, but also the pants, the hats. They will also get you the ancillary stuff like batting gloves or team backpacks or anything that you need. And they have packages that make it affordable for any family. Guys, you got to check out Stinger Sports. I will put the link in the description. Check these guys out. Make sure you tell them that the Brolet sent you. And please, please, please support our sponsors here. Check out what they're doing. Big fans of Stinger Sports. Now, let's jump into this week's episode. You're going to be building an all-time MLB The Show team. One player at every position, any game, any era, any card, right? Just as you're thinking, your ultimate MLB The Show starting nine. So
okay.
I'll name the position. I'll let Colt share his pick first because he's actually got his written down and you're coming off the top. So that gives you a second or two to think about this. So,
okay.
You good to go? You ready
let's
to rock?
It.
All right. Are you ready to rock?
It. Yeah.
All right. Let's start behind the plate. All right. So who's going to be the catcher that you're going to have on this team? Colt, what do you got?
I'm going to go with the Cal Raleigh Home Run Derby card from this year. Like
I was going to say, let me predict the catch. You're going to go big dumper. There it is.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That card rakes.
I love that. Any, would you change that? Would you have a different catcher in your scenario?
I think I'd probably go with big dumper as well. The only other card that I would think of is a Victor Martinez card from back in the day, because his swing was so nice and it was so quick. His defense wasn't always the best, but Cal and Victor were always my favorite catcher swings, but I like big dumper a little bit better.
Nice. In such a great year last year. All right, let's go to the other side of the battery. Who do we have on the mound? Who's your starting pitcher in this scenario?
Randy Johnson from 2022 collection.
Ooh, that one was tough. That card was horrifying.
What do you think? Who else comes to mind when you think of like who's going to be on the mound in an MLB The Show scenario?
I don't remember what year it was, but there was a year where Corey Kluber got a Cy Young card. It might have been 2017 or 18. And it was one of the first years where they had kind of like turbo sinkers, and I just could not get my PCI to the sinkers. And then he had that sweeper away, and I'm terrible at the game, so I'm chasing every single time. So I would go with the Corey Kluber, but Corey, Randy Johnson, and John Donaldson are all kind of I cannot hit those guys. But that's a good pull. Randy's awesome too.
Yeah,
can't go wrong. Three good ones right there. All right, let's go. Let's go over to first base. The guy holding down first base, power hitter. Who do we got in this spot?
This year, postseason Vladdy, the World Series card.
That's 125 everything, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that card. I haven't used it yet. Mm-hmm. I haven't played the game in a few months, but I heard that card rakes.
Yeah.
Any other first basemen that come to mind in your head that you just love?
I'm going to go secondary position. I think it was a secondary. The finest Cody Bellinger, the Dodgers' finest Cody Bellinger from back in the day. That card was insane. It might have been a 98 or a 97, but that is one of my favorite cards of all time. It was just played way above his stats. So I'm going to go the finest Cody Bellinger from either 16 or 17.
Wow. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. I like that. Good move. All right. Let's start the middle infield. Let's go second base. Who you got holding down second base?
I got Chase Utley from like 2022. His swing is just so good. Like his
stats, his swing.
Back it up, like his swing.
Yeah. Swing, the defense, the plate discipline, everything. You could just check swing all day long. That car was awesome. I'd probably go old school. I'm going to go Rogers Hornsby. He's not in the game anymore. But Rogers Hornsby is the greatest MLB The Show second baseman of all time.
Nice. Good pick. All right, let's finish up the middle infield. Who you got at shortstop?
Corey Seager. Ooh. I forget his card, but like all his cards.
The Rangers World Series or the Dodgers World Series?
Yeah, Rangers.
Okay. That card was badass. That was a really fun card. I'm going to go with another Finest card. There was a Finest Tatis. I don't know if you remember. It was – the background was like orange. It was the orange Finest card. That Tatis was one of my favorite. Or a random one. We only got it for a week. It was when Tatis hit that grand slam that broke the game of baseball, like broke the unwritten rules, and they gave everyone a free – it was like Cornerstone or something like that. Tatis. That was sick too. But I'd probably go Finest Tatis from 2020 or 2021.
Nice. Can't go wrong with that one. All right, let's finish out the infield. The other corner, third base.
I got Josh Jung, 2024. I think it might have been like a Josh Jung.
Josh Jung.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I think it was Finest maybe. I don't know. But it was like that card was so good.
Maybe it was postseason. But that I remember Josh Jung card being insane.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Kaiju David Wright. Either Kaiju David Wright from, I think, last year, or there's a Finest J-Ram from, I think it was a 97. I love that one too. Any J-Ram, because he's so small. So your PCI gets a little bit smaller. Your strike zone benefits you. It's either that J-Ram or the Kaiju David Wright or any Chipper Jones. But I'll go Kaiju David Wright.
Ooh, I like that. I haven't heard a David Wright name in a while. I like that. All right, let's go outfield, not position specific. We'll go three outfielders. We'll just go ping pong back and forth. So first outfielder.
I have Mickey Mantle from 2022, the 99.
I agree with that 100%. Give me Mickey.
Yeah.
Give me Mickey.
All right.
I'm going to go with Finest Christian Yelich in left field. There's a Finest Brewers Christian Yelich when he won MVP. I have dreams about that card. It was just unreal.
Dude, peak Yelly was so good.
Something so else. Good. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Second outfielder.
Finest Mike Trout.
Ooh, that's a good one. Finest Mike Trout. Would you go Finest Mike Trout or that 30-30 Mike Trout from a few years ago with like the fireworks in the background? Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
I think it was that one was sick too. But I love Mike Trout. It's a perfect pick.
Yeah.
Good one. All right. Who you got as a second outfielder?
Second outfielder? I got to go my GOAT Grady Sizemore. I've always been amazing with Grady Sizemore. I P5 him every single year if it's good enough. I can't exactly remember which Grady was the best. I'd probably go with the Kaiju one. That one was sick. But I'm going to go Grady as my second outfielder just because that's my guy.
Nice. Love that. All right. Last outfielder. Let's round it out.
I'm going to go the Kyle Schwarber from this year. The free one from like the mini seasons. That
card. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You got Schwarby in the outfield?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we got no DH in this, so you know,
Okay. I'm going to go with this is my final outfielder, right?
Yep. Yes.
My final outfielder. I'm trying to think of like a random pull that's going to be like that guy raked. Cuz I haven't played him with the show in a few weeks. Let's just go with I loved Michael Brantley. I know it's not a great overall pick all time, but his cards were always so sweet. And I think there was like a flashback when he almost won MVP back in the day. I like that card too.
Man, I love hearing names like that you don't hear all the time, right? Like it was like the surprise, the sleeper pick. Because in baseball, we all have that guy, right? That like, I'm just a fan. I don't know why. Like, that's just my dude.
Yep.
I love that. All right. Two good teams. We'll have them listed out in the comments. Drop a comment. Do you like Colt's team? Do you like Fuzzy's team? Who's going head to head? Drop a comment. Let us know. And that was a fun little way to kick this off today. So I like that. All right. Yep. Jump into it. What you got?
Now that we're warmed up, let's go back. Your first video on the Fuzzy channel was uploaded 8 years ago. It was MLB The Show 17 Wishlist. Why'd you want to start creating YouTube videos and on MLB The Show specifically?
It's a good question. I go back to that video sometimes and I think, man, life was so much easier back in the day, just YouTube-wise and content creation-wise.
Like a kid, too. Like a kid. It was cool.
There's like pictures of me and my old girlfriend at prom back there and like my subscriber count. And it was just really trippy. But I worked at Apple at the time and it was just one of those things where I was watching, they don't make content anymore, but guys like C-Saint Gaming, I don't know if you remember, he was C-Saint, then he became Cade Slasher. I watched a lot of him and Kooks 46 and all these guys. And I was thinking, I was just wondering if they were even making money on it. So I worked at the Genius Bar at Apple and I was just kind of sick of being yelled at all day. So I started making content. I told my coworkers, if I ever get recognized in line when I'm checking people in, I'm going to quit and do content creation full time. And it was rough at first, but I got noticed. I went full time, made no money at first, but I still believed in it and I had a passion for it. And luckily it worked out. And I think it was just timing getting in before there was a lot of creators creating. And I think that was a big part of my success. But it was really just, I was sick of being yelled at and not having a purpose really, because I wasn't meant to be at Apple for the rest of my life. So it was just trying to find a way to make my only passion in life something I can build a brand around or a career around. And I wasn't good enough to play professional baseball. So I said, let me talk baseball or play baseball online. And it worked out.
It looks like it did.
What does your creator business look like today as we film this at the end of 2025?
My creator business. Wow.
Yeah, it's fancy, right? Sounds fancy.
Yeah. These are good questions, Cole. All right. So creator, it's really just, you're talking about like streams of revenue or how I make my money or like my approach to content creation.
However you want to take it, man. Cause like, obviously you have multiple YouTube channels, you're doing short form, you know, it looks like there's a couple brand deals. I'm sure there's AdSense involved. Like, just like, if you had to look at it, like if you tell people, what do you do for a living? Like, what do you do? You know? And what does the business kind of look like?
Yeah. When I first started, it was cringe to say I was a YouTuber, but now I'm fully proud that I'm a YouTuber. I create content for MLB is kind of what I say. And it's really mainly YouTube. I love my little recaps. I love making shorts and little challenges and stuff like that. I used to play a ton of MLB The Show. I wish I still had that passion for it, but it just year after year, as much as I want to love the game, it just feels like the same game every year. And I'm almost 30 now. And I started when I was 21, 22. So I've been almost playing the game online for a decade. So there's only so many times I can do a speed team build or a toxic team build or take a team to Polo Grounds and bunt and be weird. So it's like I fully shifted my approach to trying to just grow the game of baseball and make it as accessible as possible. That's kind of my mission. And I use partners like SeatGeek to do that. SeatGeek is a big part. I love Underdog Fantasy. That's a big partner for me as well. And different little integrations I do with Aviators Baseball or stuff like that. I used to do a lot of events, but just you grow up and they find other people to do it. So I'm going to try and get back into IRL content because I used to do that a lot. That's kind of my goal this year. And just approaching business and content creation as, if I don't like it, I'm not going to do it. If it sounds fun, I'll do it. And not really worrying about the bottom line or the ROI. And that's kind of my approach as opposed to how can I fill my pockets? It's just, am I having fun or not? That's how I approach it. And usually the money follows.
Yeah. I mean, especially as a creator, like if you're passionate about the content, everything else falls into place. But if it feels forced, like you said, like you're just like, if you're 45 creating MLB The Show content for 20 years, like at some point the passion is gone and your viewers are going to feel that, your sponsors are going to feel that. But on the MLB side, it seems like you still have that fire in your belly to like wake up. And
I could recap the game of baseball 15, 16 games a day for 162 games a year. I could do it until I'm 80. I could do it forever. It's just so much fun scripting for 4 or 5 hours and then trying to record without flubbing my words. And I flub all the time. That's what I tell people. You just edit out your mistakes. You don't have to have one huge 20-minute recording flawless. Just edit out your mistakes. That's something I've tried to work on a little bit, is being kind of more graceful to myself, because I mess up and flub my words a lot. So that's been a big part of kind of like my resurgence lately, is just having fun and not caring. And if you feel stale, don't do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this recap stuff I could do forever.
Yeah. Let's jump into that.
Yeah. Looks like about 3 years ago, you stopped posting MLB The Show content on your main channel and went heavy on MLB breakdowns. How did you get into creating the breakdowns, the breaking news and updates on the MLB side?
It was so random. I don't know if you guys remember. So Giancarlo Stanton, I can't remember who hit him in the face. It might've been Mike Fiers, the guy who blew up the whole Astros thing. I think that he's the one that hit Giancarlo Stanton in the face and broke his jaw. Years later, Stanton comes back and hits a home run off of Mike Fiers and throws his bat, stares at Mike Fiers. And I said, you know, I kind of want to live react to that for a YouTube video. And that was my very first, oh my God, wait, you can download clips and edit it over your face and like kind of tell a story about the game of baseball? Because it existed. I didn't know how to do it until I had that idea. Before that, it was skits. But yeah, the Giancarlo Stanton home run off of Mike Fiers, kind of getting revenge for getting hit in the face. That's what really inspired me to make recap sort of style baseballs. But then MLB commented on that video and they said, love this. I was like, wait, MLB watches the... They're like, I don't know how they found this. Maybe it was just in their recommendation feed because people like you and me work for MLB. They run that YouTube account. They're just cool people. And it came across their feed and I got supported and I asked if I could keep on doing it. It's not as simple as it sounds. There's definitely gray areas about that. But that's how I first started, was the Giancarlo Stanton home run, MLB saying like, these are cool, working with them throughout the years. And it was just a perfect storm of, I didn't even think that it was a thing until I did it. So that's why I tell people all the time, try everything. You have no idea what's going to hit. Just try every single thing that comes to your head, because a lot of it's going to fail, but something's going to pop. I promise you it's going to pop.
What does your schedule look like these days? How often are you creating, and what's the posting schedule look like both in season and off season?
Off season's way better. Off season is so much more fun because people think like, oh, you just sit at home, and I still have my off season trades and signings and rumors and prospect rankings and stuff like that. If I do prospect rankings this year, free agent rankings, because in the season, it's a lot. It's a grind. Me and my editor, his name's Pesky Talk. Shout out to my guy, Keegan. He has really helped me out because I used to make every recap all by myself. So it's scripting for 4 or 5 hours. Then it's talking for 30, 45 minutes to try and get my recording done. Then it's downloading every single clip for every gameplay that day. It was exhausting. And then I was doing MLB The Show on the side. So it was just, I was getting carpal tunnel and arthritis. And I was like, I can't physically do this. So I brought on an editor to help me. He's been awesome. So in-season content is a lot more mentally exhausting. Off-season content, you still get the views, but it takes 30 minutes to make an entire video as opposed to six, I'm not going to say the other, 6 to 8 hours. I'll skip the one in the middle. But yeah, off-season routine, yeah. Off-season scheduling is a lot easier, and I'm just a big fan of it. But in-season content is pretty fun too. But right around August, I start to think like, I've made a lot of videos and it's getting old waking up at 6 o'clock every morning. So, but it's a grind. So I appreciate the kind of the laxness of the off season.
Well, and what it is that you do too, like speed is a superpower as well, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't want to talk about a trade that happened 3 days ago, because in the world we live in now, like it's old news, right? And so same thing with MO, like, you know, you said waking up at six, I'm assuming, because the games ended at midnight and you got to be up and like getting those games going, because like you have to get these uploads out or else the game's going to pass you by.
Right.
That's tough, right? But that's kind of this lane that you decided to play. And like, how important is that for you versus also just, you know, like I'm sure he tunes into you because of who you are and your personality and your reflection on the game, as opposed to maybe what MLB Network's saying or what ESPN's saying or another creator. How do you think about all of that, of like speed, the news, but also having your own spin on it? So you're not just another guy being like, all right, Grady Sizemore went 3 for 3 last night. Anybody can say that, right? I think it's the uniqueness you bring to it. So how do you think about that?
It's kind of been an organic progression of, I used to be obsessed with that. I would stay home and leave events with my friends if something broke. I remember when Nolan Arenado got traded, it was the first time in my life I was out with a friend and I said, I'm just going to stay here and not go home. Normally I am in my car, sprinting home. I got to get this video out before, because at the time, he'll even admit to it, me and Giraffnik Market was like, you got to beat Mark to post it first. That was back in the day where it was really important that you had all of your subscribers with notifications on, and the recommendation feed was very search dependent. It still is. So if you got that video up first, you were first in the sub box, you were first to hit the algorithm, you were first in recommendations, and your views absolutely soared. But now that I'm older and I want to start a family, I'm not going to leave family events to go talk about, I don't know, maybe Arenado gets traded again to somewhere. Maybe at the time I'm going to the Angels to replace Rendon, which would be fun. But I'm not going to leave an event to go make that video. If someone beats me, cool. And like you said, it's now gotten to the point where I've done it for so long. Thankfully, people just want to hear my perspective on it and my take. Sometimes I forget things. Sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes I just have a stupid opinion. And they want to hear the dichotomy of that, of does Fuzzy have a good or bad opinion today? I just want to see if it's a good take, and then they move on with their day. It's no longer, if I'm at home, I'll have it up within the hour. I'm gonna be the first one, but there's no longer that obsession to be first like I used to.
Yeah, that's also got to take a little pressure off too. Like just, like just the social pressure, but just like, again, like I think the goal with all of this content stuff is like people follow people, right? And so like we get the scores immediately. And I think that's obviously ESPN has a very changing business model where they don't need to report, you know, this person got 22 points because you can get that anywhere. And so how have you been able to maybe find your voice or identity within this? And like, who does Fuzzy want to be, you know, when it comes to this?
Honestly, it's going to sound so cliche and cheesy. I just want to be me because I don't know how to be anyone else. I tried in the past to slow down my cadence and have a different tone and a different perspective and be super analytical, but also be fun. And it just becomes you find yourself picking apart yourself and not being good enough. So I just said, I'm going to keep it fun. I'm going to keep it cool. If people say I'm copying this person, maybe I was inspired because I've been doing this for 10 years. So I picked up on a thing or two. And people have emulated me, and it's the biggest compliment ever. I used to be like, whoa, you're copying me. How could you do that? And then I put myself in my shoes. Like, I used to watch a lot of Call of Duty commentaries. I've had a lot of nade shot inflections in my voice over the last few years, or my competitiveness from a guy named Optic Scumpy, or a guy used to watch White Boy 7th Street. So I've also taken things from people too. So I think if you are genuine about it and you're still yourself and you're passionate, I think you can be yourself while also incorporating the best parts of other people and your favorite creators to become this like super creator. And I think that's the lane I've found myself in now, is I've found my voice, but also I like to be inspired. So I'm not afraid to kind of, if I feel funny one day, I'll be funny. If I feel more serious, I'll be serious. So there's no script really. There's no, I have talking points. There's never a script. It's literally a theme and my brain will do the rest, as opposed to be really foolish baseball, he's scripting, or be talking Jake and be really funny. Just be myself.
Let's go through your process to create one of your main channel videos. Walk us through how you come up with ideas or news you want to cover, all the way to getting it live on YouTube.
It's really just what I think can bring in the most amount of attention. So people always, I know that people are going to say it's clickbait, and it probably is sometimes. the best example I can give is, let's say the Marlins make a trade and it's Kyle Stowers, right? At the time, he was a prospect. You don't really care about Kyle Stowers, but I'm going to use that to my advantage if it's an awful trade. So in my thumbnail, I'm going to have a prominent Marlins player, a prominent Orioles player, but in the middle, I'll have a mystery player. So obviously it's not someone of high prominence, of not high relevancy at the time, but I can juice it a little bit to make people wonder who just got traded. So I think, to answer your question, I like the mystery, as that's kind of, if I can make someone think and pose a question as who just got traded, or what is this move about? What is this new rule in MLB about? And pull in that, I think asking a question or posing a question in the title is my biggest go-to. How can I turn this into a question and people can click on it? That's my go-to. Because to be honest, it Corey Seager hits a home run is not as good as like, Fernando Tatis Jr. calls out this guy, or he fights Manny Machado in the dugout. So I'm more or less, for better or worse, like the, I try to spin things to make people feel things. And that's how I approach content creation and titles. Kind of make you feel something, whether you think it's clickbait or not. You grew the game of baseball with me and I appreciate you.
I love that. I think to me, like doing this forever as well, like, it's only clickbait if there's no payoff, right? And I think in
yours, for sure, that's what
the mystery and intrigue, but there's still a payoff, right? Because there's still you still reveal who the mystery man is, and then hopefully that gets a new person to discover your videos and say like, oh man, this Fuzzy dude's pretty good. I'm gonna hit that subscribe button, or I'm gonna keep watching his videos. So, like, I totally get that side. So that's idea side. That's bringing them in. You mentioned earlier kind of bullet points. Then you kind of riff. Sounds like you work with an editor. Is he? I'm guessing that's like day to day, because you know, in season you're doing stuff like he's got to turn stuff pretty quick. And then you guys, you know, thumbnail, post, all the, like, there's a lot happening between idea and getting it live.
Yeah. Cause the way I found this guy is I just put out a tweet. I'm like, please, no offense to most of the editors I've worked with. They've been kind of lazy. They take shortcuts. This guy's a soldier. This guy's a machine. And he's obsessed with the game of baseball. And he's so punctual, so he makes my job infinitely better. That's why I pay him really well, just to make sure he doesn't leave to a conglomerate or anything like that, because I'm sure he could. He's a warrior, so he makes it super easy to get videos out quick, have them look pretty. I get to go, like, as soon as I'm done recording my voice recording, I pretty much send it. And then I'm like, Keegan, it's up to you. And he puts his spin on it and he has his own channel, Pesky Talk, and he's ripping right now. So I just like to surround myself with passionate, efficient people who are willing to take feedback. And he is so good at constructive criticism. And then he implements it into his own content. And by proxy, me helping him, he's helping himself with his channel. So just really staying dedicated and not taking offense to feedback. He's been a game changer to my schedule and my routine. And there was a point I'm like, I'm burnt out on this. I can't do this for much longer. I look forward to content creation every single day, even if it's long form, if it's short form and I make no money on it, I have fun doing it. And big, big, big shout out to Keegan if he ever watches this, because one of the problems that I had coming up was I didn't delegate. I thought I could do it all myself. You have to delegate. You have to put your trust in other people. And maybe it takes 4 or 5 flyers till you find your guy. But don't be afraid to invest, buy your time back, and give constructive criticism. Don't be condescending, because you get your time back. You get tax write-offs. You're helping someone build their dreams at the same time. You're building the game of baseball. It's a win-win all across the board. So rely on others. Don't be afraid to buy your time back and invest in yourself. That's a big part of my routine, is constantly reminding myself that. It's not all about work. It's about don't fall back into bad habits.
Great advice. Love that.
Talk us through both your content gear setup, from cameras, editing, et cetera, and also your current gaming setup.
It's always a hodgepodge over here, because something breaks every other day or like doesn't work. So like I'm on my iPhone plugging in. I'm like, I wonder if it'll pick it up as a webcam. I don't know if it sounds good or not. I'm on my Elgato that I mute myself. And it's funny because I have a much better mic right here, the Shure mic, but it's kind of complicated to use. And sometimes it cuts out and sometimes the audio is a little bit off. So again, I went back to the grassroots of just keep it simple, because my most viewed video ever, long form, is on an iPhone 7 with no mic. And one of my best gameplays is recorded on an iPhone 8 with a little blue snowball microphone. So just back to basics. That's why I don't pay for thumbnails. Just keep it as simple as possible. I do go a little bit crazy with my Mac. I like my Mac and my phones because those are my best pieces of equipment. I have them with me all the time and they look great. I really like, there's a brand called Hollyland. This is by far, if you guys ever need portable mics, this sounds insane. I also like anything DJI. So I go a little bit crazy with my gadgets. So like DJI mics, I love my Hollyland. If I ever record on my PC, it's just a little monitor setup with a 7-year-old pre-built Best Buy gaming PC. And I use a G7X Lumix or something like that. Lumix, I don't know. But for the most part, it's really just sit down, record on this little Elgato mic. If it sounds cool, great. I don't let perfection get in the way of good enough anymore. So that's my game. It got iPhones, portable mics, and then the occasional like camera setup with OBS. And I use Final Cut Pro. Final Cut Pro is awesome.
So simple. We just had Connor Harris, from this new member of the Savannah Bananas, on the show, and they, like, Rack and all of them were giving him so much crap because he had an iPhone 7 and like everybody's on like the new fancy iPhone. And he's like, I could still make a video on it. And hundreds of thousands of people will watch it. He's like, you know, so it was just, love that. It's just like, what's the gear that's going to get the job done? And not like with our setup here, like we've got a webcam, we've got one microphone. Could we be fancier? But like, I'm working and I'm like, all right, cool. We got a podcast in 10 minutes. I turn the lights on and boom, we're done. Right. And I think that's, you got to find the way that you're going to actually create the content and not let gear get in the way.
100%. Cause there was a point in YouTube not too long ago where that was the move. You needed the highest quality, everything. You had to have quick edits and sound effects. And it was kind of like the Mr. Beastification of YouTube. But even he admitted that he went too far. And thankfully, people like organic content. And I think it actually kind of started on TikTok with girls doing get ready with me's. They slowed down the pace. They told a story. And it just kind of gravitated towards, you don't need the fanciest equipment. Tell a good story. Get a good hook. And that's kind of all you need nowadays. It's not about having a Shure mic and a $10,000 camera system with a $5,000 lens. Set up your iPhone. Have the lighting and audio sound acceptable and go for it. And that's the move going forward. If anyone tries to tell you otherwise, it's not 8K quality. It's not even 4K quality yet, because most TVs, we're not using that. You're not hogging up your Wi-Fi. We don't even have 4K phones yet, really. I mean, you can if you wanted to, but keep it simple.
Yeah, love that advice.
Specifically with YouTube, what do you think are some of the biggest factors that helped you to grow almost 600K subs on the main channel and just under 100K on the gaming channel?
At first, it was pretty explosive because I was doing recaps, gaming, and IRL content on one channel. So it was just a feeder ground for all baseball fans. So it was kind of like, imagine if I never started a gaming channel, I think I'd have almost probably 800,000 by now, just because I probably would have kept it moving a little bit more and been inspired to keep on creating. But when it's on its own separate channel, it's kind of like the forgotten child. You don't really think about it as much. And if you're not pulling views, it becomes a little bit demotivating, even if I'm trying to have fun. But I think for the most part, just my team builds on MLB The Show really helped out. That were just wacky, fun moments that really helped out at first. And then I did skits and then like walk-up song style, stereotype skits and stuff like that. And then me and my younger brother was a big part of my channel ripping at first because, I mean, he was 16 years old hitting like 450-foot home runs off a tee. I've never seen anything like it. So I just recorded him, said, are illegal bats better than, I think it was BESR versus BB Core. And that was kind of like, I'm doing skits. I'm doing IRL content. I'm making shorts before they were shorts. I'm making recaps. I'm making MLB The Show. I just live by the motto of make everything because something's going to hit and you might have five different series you can work with. Some people think, don't split your audience up because then when you find something you really like, again, YouTube is weird where if you have a lot of subscribers but only a fraction are watching, they might not promote it. But I enjoyed the fact that I did a lot of things. So my audience is a little bit split, but it got me to almost 600,000 subs and I'm praying I can get to 1 million one day. And I have big ideas about that in 2026. I think I can get a whole lot closer. And I think that involves bringing IRL stuff back. So my little brother and I have some ideas and I've talked to a few other creators that you guys have had on the show or creators you know about. And I think it's going to be a big year. So I'm excited.
What are 2 to 3 of the biggest lessons or mistakes you've made that have stopped you from growing even faster?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would say when I came up, I was very sensitive. I took offense to a lot of things. I burnt a lot of bridges and it took a lot of whether it's like heartbreak with trying to be with someone that doesn't want to be with you or something flopping that you spent hours on or being the feeling of being left out like, oh, I should be sponsored by that too, or I should be in that video with these guys. I know a couple of years ago, if I saw Eric Sim in a Mr. Beast video, that should be me. But now it's like that dude's growing the game. He's showing that it's possible to do something like that. Coach Rack, the fact that he's on Under Armour now and you have collaborations with Bruce Bolts, it's so inspiring. And it took me a while to not feel there's a difference in like being inspired and holding yourself back with the feeling of that should be me. So I think not letting, there's a thing called channel checking. Used to do it all the time. How many views is that guy getting? How many views is that guy getting? I don't do that anymore. A piece of advice I give to a lot of up and coming creators is muting. If you feel like you cannot stop yourself from comparing, don't unfriend them. Don't block them. Just mute them and go put your phone down, post and ghost, and try and relight that spark of just you're creating content to build yourself and what the people around you. My favorite saying is a high tide raises all ships. I didn't live by that saying for a long time. And I got back in my faith as well, which made me more like patient. I got in therapy. I really wish I was in therapy earlier in my content days. Burnt way too many bridges and gained weight and all this different stuff that I don't even talk about. It's just I make my content. I don't want to bombard my audience who just wants to watch baseball about mental health and stuff like that. But it is important to talk about that and the maturity I felt like I've grown into because I did not have it. And it really, Colt, don't press send. That's my best advice. Don't press send. Really think about things before you take offense to something because most of the time it's not that deep. And if someone gets an opportunity before you, that just means there's a few angles that they haven't approached that you can. So That's definitely, I know you asked the like 2 or 3 things, but I'd say my main thing that the only really thing I've struggled at was being sensitive and working on that day in and day out over the last almost decade. So that's a big, big, big thing. Like I'm impressed by people who are kind and genuine. And those are the people I want to work with, not the arrogant ego type. So that's something I had to learn the hard way.
It's such a good answer because we live in a world where you're judged by views and subscribers and you get paid off of views and subscribers and seeing that. And like, you know, we catch ourselves doing that sometimes of like, man, how did that guy get invited to that thing? Or how did this?
Yeah.
And like, you know, I bring it back to like his baseball career too, is like, what can you control? Right? Like what we can control the quality of guests, the quality of questions, the quality of our episodes and posting. That's it. And then YouTube controls the rest or the algorithm or whatever it is. It's like, are we doing our best work? I think we were scheduled to record this like yesterday, the day before. And I'm like, oh, he's in this like all-star game. And like, he's the youngest kid. It was all eighth graders. He was a seventh grader. I'm like, you might not play. Like you might say, I think he sat like the first two innings. He hit like 11th out of 15th. But I was like, it doesn't matter. When you get up, what are you taking advantage of that opportunity? And I think the same thing's true with content of just like, the cool thing with content is you get to choose to post every day if you want to, right? And that's what you can control. And so I think your answer to that is big, but it's also difficult. Like, it's not easy because as soon as you open YouTube, you're like, dang it, Sim, like, you just got another million views. Like, why are my videos not doing that? Or why am I not hitting? Or, you know, whatever it is. But I think you have to, it's a baseball thing, right? Control what you can control, right? Like, you can control your process. You can't control the outcome.
And just reminding yourself of the context, like Colt, the reason why he's not in the starting lineup, not because he's not good enough. He's the youngest kid on the field. That's important context that you can't just forget about. Or maybe if I make another in real life video and it bombs, I could be really sad about it and never make one again. Or I can remind myself that I just haven't done it in years. So that audience might not watch anymore. So just context is so important. Perspective is so important. And it's awesome that I'm sure you left that. I saw a diving play. I mean, you could have been in the dugout moping around kind of just like, what am I going to do on Fortnite later? What skin's out? But you stayed locked in. And when you got your chance, that was a sick play. And a scout definitely saw, I would tell you, they like the hustle more than the play itself. That kid locked in this entire time. He didn't start and he's out here balling. And that's what's important is staying present, keeping that perspective and not comparing yourself to the kid who's got the eye black on with the chains and all, he's the coach's son. No, you're Colt. You're going to ball out. You don't need to be that kid.
How do you think about short form content and where does it play in your content mix? We've seen some of your meme style highlight videos, but OC makes specific content just for short form, like some MLB The Show 26 updates. Talk to us about your short form strategy.
So I really feel like short form is the key to financial freedom if you want to do anything in content creation, because it kind of reversed. It used to be like TikTok is the goal. If you can blow up on TikTok, that is the easiest return on investment. It just has to be a minute and 1 second, right? But now on shorts, if you just spam 10 a day, 11 a day, it doesn't affect long form anymore. So I like to think of shorts as a lottery ticket. The more you post, the more you buy, the better chance you have. I'm not saying go buy lottery tickets, but
it's still just such a big opportunity, right? And it's also like speed too. Like I see, you know, I think he brought it up in the question of just like, you've got these like meme style things. Like you could just kind of throw those up against the wall and see what sticks. One might go hyper viral that brings you a bunch of subs. And then there's also just like, all right, I'm going to create this video specifically for short form. Like I think there was one on like MLB The Show. You're like, here's a new feature. Or like it was like MLB is the show is coming to mobile or something.
And those
like,
are fun.
And you made that specifically for short form, which that doesn't take 8 hours, 6 to 8 hours to put together.
No, shorts are very defeating if you give up, because if you're not getting a million views a short, you're kind of just doing it for the love of it. You're not pulling in a ton of money. I will say YouTube shorts, it's called RPM. So per 1,000 views, how much do you make? It used to be 10 cents, used to be 8 cents per 1,000 views for a short. It's crept up to almost 45 cents over the last year and a half. So YouTube is pushing shorts like crazy. And now advertisers are taking it serious as well. I think there was an article or a stat that came out that for the first time a couple months ago, YouTube shorts officially passed TikTok. Now, I know a lot of it is like AI slop, just brain rotted, don't watch it. But if you can hit the algorithm, I've been doing a lot of like baseball clips, really short baseball clips lately, in addition to a skit or a breakdown of MLB The Show or the Team USA WBC roster, which is stacked. So there's informative videos, but also there was someone that was like just stealing everything of mine. So I thought to myself, and these were like fully edited minute long TikToks. And I thought to myself, if he's going to steal my stuff, let me return the favor. Colt, don't do this. That's the petty part of me where I'm sensitive. But I found a niche where it's like, oh my God, this. I honed in on this little niche. And thankfully, instead of being petty and going after him, I just said, you know what, let me maybe open a new avenue for my channel. And it's been amazing so far. I would tell people, it gets annoying how often I tell people just spam shorts, and your channel will absolutely explode. And if there is a viral video that gets 10 million views, that's as you didn't do anything. You just recycled content. You put it up there and now you made $1,000 for something you made $200 on a long form video, 5X on something that you've already made. And you just put it up in a vertical aspect that was 5 seconds long. So I tell people all the time, the best way to grow in 2025, 2026, the landscape is if you can post 10 shorts a day and do it in either 30 minute or hour long increments. And when you look in your channel, they'll tell you when your audience is most active. Don't post it at 4 a.m. Don't post it at 10:30 p.m. Find your most dense time block and spam shorts in that time, and you are golden. I promise you, it works 10 out of 10 times. Everyone that I've given that advice, one kid's almost at 100,000. He started at 12,000 3 months ago.
Wow.
So spam shorts, 5 to 10 a day, in your biggest chunk, it will grow subscribers. And people think it's not going to turn into long form viewers. You can link to long form views. So there's a TubeBuddy app. I don't know if you guys ever heard of TubeBuddy.
Yeah.
For $30 a month, it's insane. Mr. Beast does it. He diverts all of his shorts to his long form, his latest long form. And with TubeBuddy, they came out with a new feature. They will auto select every single video on your channel and paste, or every single short and paste which video you want to link to. So I tried it. I had a video that was kind of dying and flatlining. I put all of my 1,000 bulk shorts directing to that video, immediate jump in the view chart. So I think it's called Related Video Manager on TubeBuddy. It's $30 a month, but it's just all around shorts are the future, and you got to really dig into it. And keep your long form. Don't give up on that, but don't be afraid to make a 5 to 10 second clip that doesn't make you any money on TikTok, but it might blow up on YouTube and Instagram Reels and brings a lot more viewers to watch routinely.
Man, that was gold in and of itself. I want to, so we start to wrap up. We got two more for you, then a couple of rapid fires. But you mentioned earlier, just like looking at 2026, some more IRL stuff, like collabing with some other creators. But where does all of this go for you, right? Like you said, you're almost 30, which you're still super young because I'm now in my mid-40s. So I, you know, 30 sounds very young.
I don't feel it anymore.
I'm sure the body does different things as you continue to age. But like, what does this all look like for you? Like, where does this go, or where do you want it to go as you look at this, you know, creator world that you're in?
Yeah, I think my biggest venture going forward is to like keep my recaps, because those are just so, it's my passion project. I love it. I really want to be someone who has really nice merch, like baseball streetwear merch, just because I've been friends with the guys who started Josh, like from Baseball Lifestyle, what he's done with that. It's been so cool. Yep. I'll be in Disneyland. It's like, oh my God, there's the shorts that he talked about or showed off. And so I really want to make some streetwear. And then also I want to do in real life content again. I want to go to the WBC with Coogs and your friend Kyle and Shelfie and Dimmu. And I want to bring those videos back, and I want to make in real life videos, whether I'm trying out bats or sliding gloves or gloves with my brother, because he's just so good at baseball and I want to build that with him again. I want to grow something bigger. I feel that fire again, kind of like I'm getting passed up pretty easily by a lot of people. And I think to myself, like I'm unked now. Like I'm going to be washed up, forgotten, fuzzy. And that part of me is like, nah, you gotta light that fire again. No one's gonna do it for you. So trying to lose a ton of weight again, get back in the gym. I've been like, I got brand new. Cole, if you don't have these are the greatest batting gloves I've ever had in my entire life. The Jordan, they are the best fitting, best feeling. They don't have that like stupid stitching at the top that gets in the way. These, and they're on sale right now at Dick's Sporting Goods. But so I got brand new bats. Yeah, good, I'm joining a adult baseball league soon. Gonna try that. So again, all I'm trying to say is I'm going to be trying a lot of new stuff pretty soon, but I'm going to make sure it's simple and grand at the same time. I'm going to try my best to find that balance. It's going to be well edited, well researched. If I do something that's a baseball documentary or if it's a hitting video, I'm going to make sure I have angles and good audio, but it's not going to be 4K binocular quality. It's going to just be iPhones, keeping it simple and having fun with my recaps at the same time with shorts. And I think I can do this for 50 more years, straight up.
Love that, man. That segues really good into this one.
If you had an unlimited budget to create content, what would you spend it on?
Honestly, I would love to talk to former players who, like a series of, there's an account on Instagram, the Hall of Very Good. I want to go talk to guys who should be in the Hall of Fame, but injuries cut it short. So I would really want to build up, like telling the story of Grady Sizemore, telling the story of Eric Davis, David Wright, guys like that, and really digging deep into what could have been and bringing guys like Foolish Baseball to bring in like the cool creator aspect, but also like the really digging deep. So I'd want to like bring guys like that in. I would want to really invest in little leagues and schools and make sure they have cool gear and feel supported. Because when I was growing up, I had to shop at Ross. Like I was the Ross kid at a private school. So I was the poor kid with all these rich kids. Like, how come you have these shoes or these? So I just want to make sure that kids, I would probably want to make some sort of initiative where I give back to, if I had unlimited funds, I'd really want to make sure that kids who are in low income places don't go on Instagram and, oh man, I don't have the Easton Heat or whatever the new bats are that are $500. You could still rake with the lower bat and I'm going to get you that too. And hey, you know what? I'm going to get the whole team Easton Heats or whatever they are now. So I just, if I had unlimited money, it would be going to underprivileged teams and areas and really just hyping them up. And hey, you don't need the nicest stuff, but I got you guys. I want you guys to feel like pros for a day. And I want you guys to go out there and just play your best, regardless of if you had it or not. So building up something like that would be my main priority.
Man, I love
that. And finding a way to give all the money to Robert Manfred to buy the Guardians.
I love that, man. Your heart's in the right place. And I think storytelling, content, media is the way to do all of that. Whether you have the unlimited budget or not, you know, you have the ability to impact so many more people than you know. Thanks, it's like, man, the invisible audience too, right? Like, you know, there's thousands of kids like him who are watching your stuff every day that you never hear from or don't leave comments, or, you know, that you're making a bigger impact. And if you go from, you know, 100,000 views to 500,000 views on your videos, like just the impact that has, you know it, but like just your heart's, I think, in the right place, which is super cool. So love that. Let's jump into some rapid fire, just some fun ones. First thing kind of that comes to mind, no right answer, no wrong answer. Let's just have a little fun as we wrap it up.
What's the coolest thing you've gotten to do or place you've been invited to because of content?
Ooh, I was on, this was a crazy week, really quick. I did it like a All-Star Village virtual home run derby thing with MLB Back in the Day that somehow ended up on ESPN. And the next day, my little brother was on ESPN2 for the, I think it was like Summer Ball World Series or something like that, where he had 30 something home runs in a season. So having me on ESPN1 in DC, I think it was, and then my brother on ESPN the next day, that's by far the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Man, back to back. That's awesome.
Back to back is crazy.
Who's someone you'd love to play 1v1 and it'll be the show?
Erickson. I don't know if he plays anymore, but that would be fun.
That'd be fun. That'd be real fun. That's a lot of smack talking would be going on in that video.
What's the biggest storyline going into the 2026 MLB season?
Can the Dodgers three-peat? I think that's it. Can the Dodgers three-peat? Because there's going to be a lot of good, like the Phillies with, I know a lot of people don't think that El Bombi is good anymore, but getting Brad Keller and Adolis Garcia is going to make the Phillies awesome. I know that Ranger Suarez might leave, but there's going to be a lot of good teams. Maybe even the WBC might be the biggest story of 2026. Because even players say out loud, that's it. The World Series is cool. You got to win that WBC. That is literally all that we're striving for. So it could be, can Judge show up in the WBC and build off his postseason resurgence? Maybe it's something like that. Can he be Captain America now? But yeah, I think the biggest MLB is probably, can the Dodgers three-peat? Who's going to dethrone them? Maybe the Guardians. I don't know. I still have faith. But or the WBC. The WBC is going to be just
huge.
Insane. So
huge.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
What's the best advice you've gotten to help grow your YouTube channel or creator business?
Yeah, it was probably, I was at Angel Stadium with Cougs 46, and this was years ago. We were like on a balcony. He gave me the advice that Casey Neistat kept preaching of, don't let perfection get in the way of good enough. Never looked at content the same. So shout out Cougs 46 for a random fact, a little tidbit that he just threw out there at an Angels game, and it stuck with me.
Cool, love that.
What's a big goal you have for your creator business in 2026?
Merch. That is, I'm very nervous because it's like you're opening yourself up for a lot of criticism of like, these suck or these are cringe or I'm returning it now or stuff like that. Probably merch. And if I haven't lost the amount of weight that I'm hoping to by the time I want to make in real life content, being called tubby again or fluffy instead of fuzzy. So I'm I definitely wonder if I'll be able to lock in enough to get my merch done and all these goals. But yeah, merch and IRL content has to be on the bulletin board for 2026. Those are my big, I need it.
What are you most looking forward to in MLB The Show 26?
PCI sensitivity. I've been asking for this for a decade now. I was told in person, literally walking into SDS where they make the game, it's never possible. We cannot do that. And the fact that it's here, I don't need precision rings anymore, or maybe I need to keep them and have it not even move at all and just keep it down the middle because I drop my PCI all the time. So PCI sensitivity is something I'm over the moon about.
Man, love that, dude. Thank you so much for doing this. As soon as that merch is up, you got two of your first orders coming right here, man. So
I'm sending it your way. I don't want you guys. Nope, I'm sending it your way.
No, we want the link, man. We got to support creators supporting creators, man. That's how this is all going to work. Thank you so much for the time, man. I really appreciate it. I hope 2026 is just that year for you, man. But I know he's been a big fan. We joked as we got on camera, but he watches your stuff every day. And so I just keep it up. And, you know, you're inspiring people, whether you know it or not. You do know it. But, you know, it's really cool to see. And I love you, you know, sharing some of the insights and stories with us today.
Heck yeah. And I mean, it's vice versa. Seeing you guys attempt to build something and you're fired up about it and you have sick jerseys. I mean, your jerseys are literally world class. And I just love the Bro Let's font. So it fires me up. Like, if they can do it, I can do it too. So just know you guys are making an impact, showing that it's possible, even having me on and just willing to have a conversation. You guys are awesome. So thanks for all that you do too.
Love it. Love it. We'll link up everything. Make sure we send some people your way. Have a great Christmas. Happy New Year. And hopefully we get to hang out in real life sometime soon.
Sounds awesome, guys. Nice to meet you. Merry Christmas.
Awesome. Yep, thanks, thank buddy. You.